Greg, I hope you're doing well. Welcome into the game here in Tuscaloosa.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.
So, how does it feel to be called a member of the media?
You know, that's the one thing that's been running through my head all day. It's so funny. I've been on the other side of the table on so many different occasions, but this is just such a new role, but it's such an exciting one, and I'm really looking forward to being a part of the team.
Now you got to be a bad guy, because players look at us as bad guys. So now you got to be one of those bad guys that sort of dives in between and gets a couple of stories, tries to find out the news and the nuggets. So it's good to have you on our side of the fence.
Well, I appreciate that. One thing that I will do, knowing from a player's perspective and having that been so fresh, I will try my very hardest to understand where the player's coming from and try not to take things out of context, which I know does happen from time to time. So for the most part, I think I'm going to try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt, but it is going to be a bit of a challenge, a bit of a different role, but I am excited about it, and I can't wait to be a part of it.
When did your interests begin to pick up as far as being a part of the media and accepting this role at ESPN, the new SEC network?
Well, it really started when I was coming out of college, and it was 2011. I was going through draft preparation. They asked me to come out relatively soon after my last game in the Capital One Bowl and asked me to go to Arizona and cover part of the national championship game between Auburn Tigers and the Oregon Ducks. So I went out there, enjoyed it, and really I just thought, hey, I have an opportunity to talk a little bit more football, talk a little more college football before I get ready to hit the ground running and start for an NFL career. So it was one of those things where I went out there, I just was comfortable as myself, and I had fun, and I kind of realized, I was like, man, this is pretty fun. I might have a chance of doing this. So that's kind of how it unfolded, and we've been in contact in the last few months, and eventually it got to the point where ESPN and the SEC network just had so many tremendous qualities and so many positive things to look at that I just decided it's probably better to end my football career now and take a job with them.
I think most people had a prediction. I think Vegas may have set odds. Greg McElroy is either going to be a general manager of a future NFL team or he's going to be a broadcaster. So I don't know how exactly the odds played out, but I know that was one of the things that many of us had talked about, the personality that you display, the way that you are able to handle the media, the way that you're able to carry yourself as an individual and as someone that represents the University of Alabama and the SEC. Our prediction was that you could end up in broadcasting, and I remember watching the day that you retired and sort of watching, hold on a minute, how long is it going to be before the announcement is made? And Greg McElroy right now inside the game here in Tuscaloosa. If you could ask Nick Saban one question as a member of the media, what would it be?
I think the first question that pops in your mind is, Coach Saban, can you please explain in depth the process? Because that's something that as a player we would understand, but we never necessarily got an entire description. So it was just something that was thrown around, but I really wanted him to go into depth, of course, jokingly, but it's difficult. I would want to think about what I wanted to go into the interview to ask, because I know if I ask a question that he didn't like, I would not hear the end of it. So I would definitely try to phrase my question in a timely manner, and I would try to be respectful of what it is that he's trying to do and his schedule and all those things. So knowing Coach Saban, I think it's going to be a little easier to interview him, because I know all the different things that he does and how he reacts to certain comments and questions.
Did you notice a different relationship that Nick Saban had with quarterbacks? Obviously, I know with every head coach, you see a different relationship. We saw it with A.J. McCarron. We saw it with you. We saw it with John Parker Wilson. Did you notice that as you were part of that process? Did you notice that Nick Saban, well, he may treat me a little bit different than he does the other players, or he expects more of me?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's only natural from looking at it from a head coach to quarterback relationship standpoint. Every relationship on the team is different. And one thing that I'll say about the most successful coaches that I've been around and the most successful coaches that I've watched is they relate to each player in their own personal and their own way of communicating with them, their own way of talking to them, coaching them, criticizing them, all these things. And I think that's one of the things that has separated some of the best coaches from mediocre to not so good coaches, are the way that they're able to relate to the individual and the way they're able to press that individual's buttons. And I think that Coach Saban did a fantastic job of that. His relationship with John Parker was remarkably different than his relationship with me. And his relationship with AJ was very different from that of mine and John Parker. So he does everyone a little bit differently on the field, and quarterback's no different.
I want to go back to your playing days, and then I'll work back to the media questions, and certainly proud of to talk to Greg McElroy right now inside the game, the newest ESPN college football analyst representing the SEC Network. He's inside the game here in Tuscaloosa on the new Tide 99.1. When you looked at the University of Alabama coming out of the state of Texas, I don't know how you adopted the legacy of Alabama football so quickly, so well, because when you arrived, the number 12 jersey and sort of representing that number, what that means to so many Alabama fans and certainly the tradition. How did you embrace that coming from outside of the state to Tuscaloosa?
Well, I think at first is I tried to embrace it as best I knew how. But at the same time, that you can't really do that until you get on campus. And I mean that, and I bet you that's probably the same way all over the SEC. Passion, the tradition, the pageantry, all the respect that the players have for their particular fan base. It is very, very important to go into it and appreciate that, because that's one of the best qualities the SEC has to offer. So I wanted to go into my college experience saying, I want to know everything about the University of Alabama. I want to know everything about what happened there before and what's made it the program it is today. And that was important to me, because one of our things in high school, one of our slogans across the program was protect the tradition. And I feel like that should be applied all over the place, and not only at Alabama, but at LSU, at Auburn, at South Carolina, at Florida. Every one of these schools has a tremendous legacy, has a tremendous tradition, and it makes it, you know, playing in the SEC extremely, extremely special. So I think that's one thing that I really wanted to appreciate, and that's something that I was able to do so, and I was really, really grateful to have done that.
What does Nick Saban expect from his quarterback on the field? Does he give you the same reins as – did you get more of the further reins as you continue to progress throughout your playing days when you're on the field and he learns to trust you? What does he expect early, and what did you get more as you continued playing under Nick Saban?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that's the same way with every position, though. I feel like, of course, you might start out with a conservative offensive game plan, and then it might adapt and evolve and grow throughout the course of the season, and that's the way it was with me. In my first year, it got a little bit bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and then in my second year, the whole playbook, where I could make checks, audibles, changes in the line, all those things were available and at my disposal. So it's basically the more that you're able to go out and prove yourself and play on a consistent basis, the more opportunities coaches are going to give you to go out and play your game and make changes and do those things like that. So that's not just Nick Saban. That's not just playing quarterback. That's all over the field.
Do you know exactly the responsibility that you will have with the SEC Network, and what are you able to tell us?
At this point, I'm not 100% sure, but I am really thrilled to be a part of it. And the fact that that I was able to go straight from my NFL career right into this is something that I could not have dreamed up any better. And I do know at this point I'm going to be working a lot of time with one of my former teammates and one of my former rivals in college, Tim Tebow. So I'm really looking forward to spending some more time with him, and I'm looking forward to putting together a great product for the SEC Network and for fans of the SEC.
Greg McElroy, right now inside the game. The media question is this: playing in the SEC, now you'll be a part of the media side representing the SEC, the SEC Network. Could you make a campaign in the new college football playoffs that the SEC deserves two teams most years? Now, I know there's some exceptions out there, but you've played in this league. Should we get two teams from the South, from the Southeast, to play in the new college football playoff? Should that be a criteria that we eliminate one from a conference, one from the Big Ten, but the SEC certainly deserves that recognition if two teams are eligible?
Well, I think that if we go into that type of situation, then we come back to the same situation in which the BCS kind of failed us over the course of the past 10-15 years, because so many people felt like the SEC was given special favors and all those things. So I think that what it needs to do is every year needs to be evaluated with a life of its own. And whatever the best team may be, regardless of what conference they're in, and regardless of what their record was and all those things, it should be the top four teams. If they're undefeated, and they put together a tremendous group of people that have tremendous minds and will do a fantastic job of picking the four best teams and that they think deserve to play for the playoffs. So I think it's going to be a really kind of an interesting dynamic. I think, of course, at first it's going to be new and exciting and everyone's going to be excited about it. And I'm just really looking forward to seeing how it unfolds. Right now, it's so young, we don't know anything about it, so it's difficult to even comment at this
Absolutely.
Point. It's strictly speculative, but I think that it's going to be really a nice thing. I think it's going to be fun to kind of see how it unfolds.